Jerusalem to Jericho, along that lonely road, a certain man was set upon and robbed of all his load. They stripped him and they beat him and they left him there for dead. Who was it then that came along and bathed his aching head? From Jerusalem to Jericho, a certain priest came by. He heard the poor man calling, but he heeded not his cry. He drew his robes about him and quickly walked away. Who was it then that came along and ministered that day? Tell me who was his neighbor kind and true? From Jerusalem to Jericho, we're traveling every day, and many are the fallen ones that lie along the way. From Jerusalem to Jericho, a Levite came along, unheeding at the cry of him who lay upon the ground. He raised his hands up to the heavens and quickly walked away. Who was it then that came along and ministered that day? From Jerusalem to Jericho, the wounded man did lay. Along came the Samaritan, who was despised, they say. He ministered unto the angel, took him to the inn. He paid his fare and told the host to take good care of him. Tell me who was his neighbor kind and true? From Jerusalem to Jericho, we're traveling every day, and many are the fallen ones that lie along the way. From Jerusalem to Jericho, we're traveling every day, and many are the fallen ones that lie along the way. They seem despised, rejected, but no matter what they've been, when everybody casts them out, why Jesus takes them in. Tell me who was his neighbor kind and true? From Jerusalem to Jericho, we're traveling every day, and many are the fallen ones that lie along the way. Tell me who was his neighbor kind and true? From Jerusalem to Jericho, we're traveling every day, sharing Jesus to the lost that lie along the way. Yes, sharing Jesus to the lost that lie along the way.
I've been here so many times, and This is missions conference. We've been in a number. I've been in a number of missions conferences this year, and God's still doing great things. And I certainly always enjoy being here, and trust that God will bless in a special way. And the goal is everybody get involved. Everybody who's ever been saved by the grace of God ought to be involved in missions of giving yourself or giving your substance for the work of the Lord. And I trust that God will work in a special way. We have these several days together, and trust that you will certainly give your very best to help accomplish that which you desire to be used of God. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I have a thought I want to share with you here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, I'm going to read several verses and we'll stay right here in this passage. And as God gets us started here for your missions conference this year, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Appreciate the Dawsons and what they've meant to us over the years, and how God has certainly used them in a great way here at Shining Light Baptist Church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love for us, your love for the world. Thank you so much for Shining Light Baptist Church. Thank you for the folks who've come out in the middle of the week to be here for the first night of the missions conference. We realize that the very heartbeat of the church is missions. We realize that this is an important week here. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help every man, woman, boy, or girl who's a part of the Shining Light Baptist Church to give of himself or herself to help this church carry out that which you've commissioned and commanded it to do. We thank you for this day. Thank you for Veterans Day. Thank you for the men and women who've given their lives and who protect this country and give us the freedom that we have to even come and preach here tonight. And I pray for a very special blessing. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless our time together tonight, challenge our hearts from the Word of God. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, was making a comparison between the ministry of Moses, which was the ministry of the law, compared to his ministry of the gospel, which had been given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that the ministry of the law was given in types and shadows, things that were not very clear. Paul said God has now, since Jesus Christ has come and died, was buried, was raised from the dead, has given us a new commandment, a new commitment that is simple, plain, not complicated. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl can see clearly and understand the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that the gospel is not complicated. I'm glad tonight that the gospel is clear. You can take it to Fiji. You can take it to Africa. You can take it across the street. You can take it around the world. It is simple, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew that when he got saved on the Damascus Trail. He realized, I've got something that's different than what Moses had. It's not in types. It's not something where there's a veil over eyes. It's clear that you can take it any place in the world and it will accomplish its purpose. I'm so glad that the gospel doesn't need any improvement. We don't have to add anything to it. It's all been taken care of. Now, Paul, I believe, was the greatest evangelist missionary that ever walked on the face of the earth. Paul had learned some things. Paul was a church planner. Paul was a missionary that had a burden for his people and specifically for the Gentiles God had called him to give this glorious gospel to them. Paul understood what it was all about. And by the way, I love to read about Paul and study about Paul, because all of his life, from the time that he got saved, he never stopped giving the gospel to other people. He understood the mystery of the church. He understood what the church, God had raised the church up to do. Paul gave his life to start churches, plant churches. And Paul believed that every saved person ought to have a desire to see somebody else get saved. And so he says, it's not in type. It's not unclear. It is simple and clean and understandable, and everybody ought to be involved in it. So he's writing now to the church of Corinth, a church that he had established. He makes a statement here in verse number 7 of chapter number 4 that I want to draw some principles from as we begin our missions conference this year. I want you to notice what he says here in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, we, talking about the ministers, those who were saved by the grace of God, those who were involved in planting churches, those that were witnessing, he says, we, every saved person, he says, we have this treasure. The treasure he's talking about is the simple gospel that the entire world needs. And Paul says, now that I'm saved, I've been given a commandment. I have been commissioned by Almighty God that every time I meet someone, I'm to give them this treasure. Without a doubt, the greatest commodity ever given to a world is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, but we have this treasure. And then he makes the statement, in earthen vessels. Now let's stop there for a moment and think about the treasure is the gospel. It's precious. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It'll change anybody. It'll save anybody. It'll work across the street. It'll work in another state. It'll work in another city. It'll work around the world. It'll save anybody. Why? It's the greatest treasure ever given to mankind. The amazing thing that Paul had a hard time understanding is the same thing that I have a hard time understanding as well. The treasure I understand. The gospel is clear. The gospel is pure. But he says, God, who knows all, God, who's ever powerful, gave this treasure to earthen vessels to give it out to people who are perishing. Now, we are real good as human beings of making excuses. Throughout the Bible, man has always made excuses. I don't speak well. I don't talk well. I haven't learned well. I don't have much money. I don't have this. I was born over here. We all make excuses, but once we got saved, we became an earthen vessel, regardless of our condition, to be involved in giving the gospel to someone else. Now, Paul understood that. If you remember the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, he got saved on the Damascus Trail. And a moment after he got saved by God's word, saved God's way, responded to God's word, sought God's will the rest of his life, what would thou have me to do? Immediately, he didn't wait until he went to Bible study. He didn't wait until he went to classes. He says, Lord, I've got something that's so good and so wonderful. What do you want me to do with it? And immediately he became an instant testimony and had an impact upon other people. Would to God, after we got saved by the glorious gospel, it would do something in our lives that would compel us to give it to somebody else. Paul understood that. He got saved on the Damascus Trail. You follow this man in Acts chapter 18. He understood something else. God had given him the mystery of the church. We see that in the book of Ephesians. He understood how the church worked. He understood what his responsibility. But Paul understood how the gospel could change all people. In Acts chapter 18, he goes into the city of Corinth, a city where nobody would want to go to start a church. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there were whoremongers and liars and drunkards and effeminate. All kinds of people were in that city. Paul went in and took the glorious gospel that saved him, preached that gospel, and the Bible says folks got saved, and this was written about them. And such were some of you. They got saved. Their lives changed. So this is the group of people that he's writing back to here, talking about this vessel, this earthen vessel that they were that were giving this treasure. So he understood. As a matter of fact, this church, the church of Corinth, the Bible says when he wrote this first letter, he said in chapter 1 of the first book, they came behind in no gift. The testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in that place. So that's the group of people he's writing to, and he's simply saying this. We now, you who are saved, we're earthen vessels carrying the most precious commodity the world has ever known. Now I want you to notice what he said. Why is it that God, who's all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, why would Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah would do what he did? Why would he take the glorious gospel, the greatest commodity, and give it to earthen vessels, men that are sinners, saved by grace, perishing, people who can be slothful, stubborn, stingy, and yes, even sinful from time to time, to give the gospel to a lost and dying world? I'm talking about people who are weak, people who are perishing, people who may not have a lot. Doesn't matter with God. And here's what he says in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here's what he's saying, and this is the thought I want you to get tonight. God has chosen to entrust into those of us who are saved, no matter what our background may be, no matter how insignificant we may think we are, God has decided to entrust us with the glorious gospel to get it out to a lost and dying world. And he says, I have no excuse based upon the fact that I'm just an earthen vessel, because the source of the power for getting it done is not based upon me. It's based upon him. I want you to think about that tonight. In this local church called Shining Light Baptist Church, it's made up of a group of earthen vessels. I mean, men, women, boys, and girls, that if you were to analyze yourself, if you were to find yourself, and by the way, one of the ways to really get stirred in life every once in a while is think about what God saved you from. Think about what you were when you got saved, and even think about what you are now from time to time. And yet God saw fit to entrust us with the glorious gospel, put us all in a local New Testament church, different personalities, different backgrounds, that collectively we could evangelize the world. What a great, great responsibility we have. My question I want to ask you tonight is, what are you doing as an earthen vessel with the treasure that's been entrusted to you? Missions is all about using what God's given me. I'm a steward. I belong to Almighty God. And if the God in heaven saw fit to take the most precious commodity and entrust it in me, I have no reason to make excuse why I can't witness, why I can't go, why I can't give, why I can't pray. Why? God says it's not based upon me, it's based upon Him. We are earthen vessels carrying heavenly treasure. Every time I walk out that door, yes, I face all kinds of things that the human body faces and the human mind faces, but I'm carrying something. I'm carrying something that doesn't fail. I'm carrying something that will work. I'm carrying something that will change a life. I'm carrying something that will keep somebody out of hell. What am I doing as a vessel carrying this heavenly treasure? I carry it on my job. I carry it into the community. I carry it all around. What am I doing with it? Paul says we're earthen vessels carrying heavenly treasure. Now, because we're not angels, and by the way, God could have chosen angels to preach. He could have chosen angels to be missionaries. He could have chosen angels to be pastors, but He chose sinners saved by grace that are nothing but earthen vessels, because God's not in the business of trying to make us look good. God wants us to make Him look good. So the weaker I am, I'm still, if I'm saved, I'm a vessel. The weaker I am, I'm still carrying the treasure. I have as much treasure and much responsibility as anybody else if I'm saved by the grace of God. We're earthen vessels carrying heavenly treasure. He said several things because we live in a world where the little god of this world is causing all kinds of problems. We find today, as I travel, and I've done a lot of it this year, it's amazing the attitude toward people who profess to be saved. We live in a very selfish society. I mean, churches are being wrecked by people who simply operate on how I feel, what I want out of life, what's in it for me, what am I going to get? We have people that do all kinds of things, quit church, move away, go around different things, all kinds of things, because we're focusing what's in life for me instead of realizing I've been created by Almighty God, saved by the grace of God, given a treasure that I'm carrying around to help people stay out of hell. We have preachers falling into sin and missionaries coming off the field and church members more concerned about themselves than the purpose for which God saved us and called us to do. And I think the problem is we realize we're earthen vessels, but I'm not so sure that we realize we're carrying heavenly treasure. I'm not so sure that I realize that whatever happens in my life, whether I face persecution, whether it's a job, whether it's a family, I'm put in a situation that's allowed by Almighty God. I'm carrying something that whoever sees me needs to see in me what I'm carrying. And if I learn that as an earthen vessel, yes, I may be perishing. Yes, I'm going to face some hard times. Yes, I'm going to be tempted. Yes, there'll be persecution. Yes, I'm going to face all that happens in the world. Yes, there's a bad economy. Yes, there are all kinds of problems. But my sufficiency is not in me. It's in God. I still have a heavenly treasure that somebody needs to get from me. And how I behave and carry myself will determine whether they see God or not. So Paul here, writing to the church of Corinth, reminded us of earthen vessels carrying heavenly treasure and what we need to be aware of in this life. He says, first of all, what is it as an earthen vessel? If I walk out of this building, as we will tonight, if I go on my job tomorrow, if I'm a missionary on the field, if I'm a pastor that's preaching the word of God and I look out of my congregation and I see folks out there that need the Lord Jesus Christ, if I realize that all things are going to happen, there are physical problems and emotional problems, all kinds of things that a vessel, that's an earthen vessel, is going to face in this life, but I've got to remember something. I'm carrying a heavenly treasure. And God wants me to rely upon him, to show the world him, regardless to what I face in life. So Paul writes here in these next several verses some things that I need to be conscious of as an earthen vessel carrying a heavenly treasure. In verses 1 and 2, he says this: am I a worthy steward of what's been entrusted in me? Every saved person in here tonight is a steward. I'm either a good steward or a bad steward. I'm a steward of my time. I'm a steward of my talent. I'm a steward of my treasure. If I'm a good steward, a steward is simply someone who owns absolutely nothing but manages everything that he has for somebody else. I don't own my time. I don't own my talent. I don't own my treasure. I'm simply a manager. That's why if I got a talent, I ought to use it in the local church. Ought to have some time, ought to have some priority in my time for Almighty God. If I have some treasure, ought to use it in and through the local church to get the gospel around the world. Why? I'm a manager. So Paul says, am I a worthy steward? Am I worthy to be carrying this treasure? And he mentions here, he says, therefore, and the therefore comes from the fact that God has now given us a new covenant that's different than what Moses, it is simple and it's plain. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As a worthy steward carrying a heavenly treasure, here's what I've got to realize. I'm carrying the gospel on my job. I'm carrying the gospel as a missionary. I'm carrying the gospel when I stand behind the pulpit. I'm carrying the gospel among my family members. I've gotten saved by the grace of God. God has entrusted me with a heavenly treasure. Here's how I have to look at it as a steward. I've got to realize I have received this ministry. It's a personal ministry that's given to me by Almighty God. And if I'm saved tonight, I have this ministry. I'm a manager of ministering the gospel to other people. And when my circumstances change, God says, I'm not only giving you a ministry, but along with that ministry, I've given you some mercy that you can rely upon. And your attitude is, because I have this ministry, I can avail myself of his mercy. My mandate is, I will not faint. I will not faint. I won't give in. I won't give up. I won't give it over. After all, I have a ministry that I'm a steward of, and I can't allow selfishness to interfere. I can't allow my circumstances to stop. Why? Somebody is looking at me who need to see Jesus that may never step into the local New Testament church. And by the way, because I spend a lot of time in mission conferences, and I've seen a lot of commitments made by people who make them emotionally. They make them for a few weeks, a few months, and circumstances change, and they forget their commitment, and they fail, and they faint, and they don't understand. I've got mercy I can lean upon. God can help me. God never moves me or stirs me to do something that he doesn't enable me to get it done. I've got a ministry. This is my ministry. It's not just Shining Light Baptist Church ministry, the missions program of this local church. That's my ministry. I'm a part of it. God put me here. And therefore, yes, I'm having some difficult times, but I'm going to avail myself of the mercy of God, and I've determined my mandate is I will not faint. I'm going to stick it out. We have a ministry. We have mercy. We have a mandate. We shall not faint. And then he mentions in verse number 2 how I'm to carry out the ministry that God's given me. Now keep in mind, the gospel is plain, simple, and needs no improvement. You don't have to. I remember years ago, my wife might remember this, our church was probably in its first year, and one lady had joined our church, she and her husband and family, and wanted me to witness to her sister. So we went over to Northwest Washington, D.C. to witness to the sister, and I was sitting there in the living room and had the Bible open, and was trying to witness to this lady. And I was coming up with all kinds of ways to be able to say the gospel right and add my personality to it and make sure I said, you know, she's a kind of an intelligent woman. I want to say it all the right way and just formulate, and nothing would happen. Then I turned to the Bible and just read what the Bible says, and when I looked up, she was in tears and got gloriously saved. Next Sunday, she came to church and brought 12 people to church to see her get baptized. Hey, let me tell you something. Here's what Paul says. You've got a treasure, but you don't have to improve on it. It's not about your personality. It's not about your education. He said in verse number 2, but I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't need any secret practices. We don't have to do that. He goes on to say, not walking in craftiness. I don't have to be sly or secret ways to accomplish God's purpose, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. All I have to do is just speak the truth of the word of God and be a good steward. Make missions your ministry. Make soul winning your ministry. Make living a holy life your ministry. Make it clean, plain and clear that how I carry myself, how I behave, somebody is watching me. And when God saved me, he gave me a heavenly treasure, knowing he knew how exactly the kind of person I am, and yet he still gave me a heavenly treasure to tell somebody else. And the more I do it, the power comes from him. The quality of it is in the gospel and in God and not in us. That's why I tell people all the time, everybody can be a soul winner. Because it's not based upon you. All you have to do is learn how to go. God is the one who does the saving. We have this treasure. It's an earthen vessel. Because I'm an earthen vessel, the first thing God wants me to do is to be a good steward of what he's given me. He's trusted me with the gospel. Let's make it a ministry. Rely upon his mercy. Let's make sure that my mandate is I will not faint. And let's make sure the methodology I use is give the truth. Make sure that I don't use any secret things to try to convince people of something. Let God do the saving, and that's our responsibility. Now, because we're earthen vessels, he expects us to be good stewards. And then he says, the next thing Paul says, because you're an earthen vessel living in a world where there's a God of this world, he said, let me warn you about Satan. The devil doesn't want people to be saved. The devil doesn't want missionaries on the field. The devil doesn't want preachers to preach the gospel. So he says, let me warn you about Satan. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. He says, as stewards, carrying heavenly treasure, and we are earthly vessels, that means we're weak, we're perishing, we face things in life. He said, let me warn you something. The devil is not on your side. Right. He said, when it comes to the mission program of the local church, the devil hates mission conferences. Hey, he will make your job extend your hours. He'll make sure that you get a headache just about time you have to go to church. And by the way, we all laughing, but a whole lot of people stay home from church because they have a headache. All right? He'll try all kinds of things. I mean, the last thing in the world that the devil wants is to have you in mission conference where the gospel is going to be preached and presented and tell you that you'll be a good steward of it. So he's against us. He says, I'm going to warn you about Satan. He's the one that's blinding the eyes of people. You know what the devil does with mission conferences? He attacks the minister. He attacks the message. He'll attack missionaries. He'll attack your motives. He'll attack members. He attacks everybody. Why? His job is to get to an earthen vessel because he knows we're carrying heavenly treasure. Make up your mind during missions conference. Make up your mind when you go to work tomorrow that you're going to give out a tract and you're going to give out the gospel. You're not going to let the God of this world keep you from doing what God has given us the power to do, because the power comes from him, not from us. He warns them about Satan. And then verses 5 through 7, he warns us about another enemy that's probably tougher on us than even Satan. And that's self. Oh, how self loves to be on the throne. Paul says, I'm an earthen vessel carrying a heavenly treasure. And he says, here's what we did in verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He said, here's what we did. When God gave us this treasure, it was so valuable, so important, I made sure that when we went out as ministers, we didn't present ourselves. We presented ourselves as servants and presented to the people Christ as Savior. He says, God is a source of all of our strength. And let's make sure we understand, it is so easy today to elevate self. One of the big problems in Christianity today is we got self on the throne rather than Jesus on the throne. He said, be careful. Make sure that you preach not yourselves. Watch out for self. I said earlier, we live in a very selfish society. There will be people who will quit giving to missions because of self. There'll be people who will stop coming to church because of self. There will be people who will leave church because self was hurt or self got in the way. Let's understand that what we're dealing with is a lot bigger than self. We're talking about a world that needs the heavenly treasure that God's given to each of us. So he says, preach Christ as your Savior, preach yourself as a servant, preach God as a source of all light. And then he says, but we have this treasure. Look at it as I've been stripped of all power And all strength that I have comes from Almighty God. We're earthen vessels carrying a heavenly treasure. What's my stewardship like? It's my ministry. I rely upon His mercy. My mandate is I will not faint. I'm going to watch out for Satan. He may attack my ministry. He may attack missionaries as he's doing. He may attack ministers. But God is sufficient to get us through it. I'm going to watch out for self. It's not about me. It's about Him. I'm not going to allow what I want in life to be more important to me than what God wants from me and through me. And may God help us to understand, if I'm on my way to heaven, then I need to endure some things to make sure that somebody else gets what God's given me. So it's watch out for self. And then the last thing he says here in this chapter, it says, if you're an earthen vessel carrying a heavenly treasure, you need to be a good steward. Watch out for Satan. Watch out for self. But be willing to suffer a little bit. Do without some things to get the gospel around the world. He said in verse number 8, there's going to be some personal suffering. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Sometimes in the Christian life, when you're trying to get the gospel out, or you're trying to give, you're trying to pray, you're wanting to go, you're wanting to do the things, it seems like you're pressed on every side. But an earthen vessel where my sufficiency comes from God, I always seem to find room. You ever find yourself like you're at wit's end, and just at the last moment, God shows up. He steps in. We're vessels. We belong to Him. We're carrying. God knew that I couldn't walk through this sin-sick, selfish world by myself. And sometimes it seems like I'm pressed. I'm troubled on every side. I mean, it comes from the left, comes from the right, comes from the front, comes from the back. I'm at wit's end. Where am I going to go next? And God just steps in at the right moment and gives you that little piece of help that you need. He went on to say, sometimes I'm perplexed, but not in despair. I'm doubtful what way to go, and it seems like I always find a way to go. Thank God that He walks with us every step of the way. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. He says, God allowed men to persecute Him, but never gave Him over to them. I'm so glad that we face a lot of things in life, but if I'm carrying God's treasure that He wants to a lost and dying world, He's going to get us through. Cast down but not destroyed. Sometimes I feel like I'm overtaken, about to be destroyed, but God always shows up. Why? I'm an earthen vessel, but I'm carrying a heavenly treasure. And the God of heaven, who knows all, saw fit to use you and to use me to tell over 7.3 billion people in the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, we will face persecution. Yes, we will face difficult times. You won't make a faith promise to get the gospel around the world without it costing you something. If you're growing in faith, you're not really tested until you learn to sacrifice and do something for the cause of others. And sometimes we face persecution, but you haven't really felt or been through some things in the Christian life until you face the unexpected and see God come through. Amen. When my wife and I were in our hotel room, and my son Kenny and my daughter Dee Dee, they were all at the hospital with Michael, and my daughter called me to tell me that, you know, what had happened, everything seemed to be fine, his vitals were okay. And then Pastor Kenny, who went into the room thinking that he's going to see him sitting there talking with the doctors, he walks in and there are 10 people all around him, you know, all kinds of activities going on. So he walks right in, and then he said he saw what was going on and heard part of the conversation. And then he calls me back on the cell phone. He says, Dad, they're going to have to shock him And then Laura, who was in the room with him, Michael's wife, says, Dad, they're going to have to shock him. So Jeanette and I jumped out of the bed and got on our knees and started praying. And then I get a call back from Kenny again. He says, Dad, I think you and Mom better get down here. I knew then it was didn't sound good. So we jumped and we went to the wrong hospital. The two Christiana's hospitals there. One was right close to the hotel. The other was close to where they were. Finally got there. Hadn't heard back from them for a while. So we're driving on the expressway a couple of miles from the hospital. I said, they haven't called back. And I said, that's not a good sign. So my cell phone rings. I looked at the cell phone. It was Kenny. So I gave it to my wife. I said, you take it. She's the lady with all the faith, you know. So she takes the cell phone, and Kenny says to her, they got a pulse. And then she lights up. She says, and of course, when she lights up, I light up. You know, you've been together for 51 years. You learn to that what you, by the way, this is a good thing. If you see somebody that has a little bit more faith than you, gravitate to them and ask God to give you what they have. I've done that over and over. And she said, from that moment, God gave her total peace. I mean, total peace that everything is going to be fine. Now, to be at wit's end where you look like, I mean, anybody, I don't know how has anyone ever been to the point where you literally felt emotionally that you were just about to lose your child. And then God steps in at that moment and gives a peace that passes all understanding, where you go from praying for something to happen to praising and thanking God that it did happen. And that, I can't explain to you in that room, if you're there, to sense what's that like to see God do a miracle that you know that's a miracle. And sometimes in the Christian life, you face difficulties, persecution, hard times, but you get all the way down to the last end of it. And just about the time you think it's all over, God steps in at the right time. Amen. We're about reaching a world. We face all kinds of things. Sickness, difficulties that go into this world. Loss of job, loss of family members, all of this. And sometimes we call that suffering. But the Bible says when the Christian goes through hard times and suffer in life, it's identifying with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was saying here when he said in verse number 10, he said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, sometimes God allows that earthen vessel that's carrying this heavenly treasure to face some things in life that we call persecution, sickness, difficulties, loss of a job, something happens. And when that happens, it shows our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if I can identify with him, then that's what life is all about. And you know, we've been given an awesome responsibility. And I say, and I've seen this year some wonderful things happen in mission conferences. That doesn't happen just because somebody fills out a faith promise card. Doesn't happen because somebody is coerced into doing something. It happens because somebody gets in their heart that God has entrusted in me, knowing my condition, knowing my situation, knowing who I am, trusted me with a heavenly treasure, that he will walk me through life, through everything in life. If I'll make it my ministry and be a good steward of it, he'll help me to fight the devil, because if I submit myself to the Lord, resist the devil, he'll flee. He'll keep self off the throne, because I'm the kind of person where I want to be on the throne, and self always want to be elevated. And yes, sometimes I may have to suffer. I may be persecuted, but he'll always be there. May be cast down, he'll always reach for me. And whatever I have to do to get the gospel around the world, I'm willing to do that. Because even in suffering, I'm identifying with my Savior who loved me enough to die and suffer for me. May God help us in this missions conference to get this thought in mind. I'm an earthen vessel, but the God of heaven has entrusted with me heaven's greatest treasure. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to be a good steward? If I'm a good steward, then he'll help me watch out for Satan, watch out for self, and even be willing to suffer because I have something that this world needs, and God has chosen me to be a part of it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. How many will say here tonight, preacher, one thing I know for sure, I'm an earthen vessel who's been saved by the grace of God. If you know that, would you raise your hands real high for a moment? I'm saved. I know that. You may put your hands down. Now I want you to think with me for a moment. All of you who just raised your hands, you've just given testimony that you are an earthen vessel that God has entrusted with a heavenly treasure. And I want you to think during this invitation, think about this. You're giving, you're praying, you're witnessing, your willingness to go. If God called you to be a missionary, to take what he's given you personally, would you do it? When you go outside of those doors, God wants you to give it to somebody else. When you fill out a faith promise commitment, God wants you to give that somebody else can go. When you think about those 50 missionaries on your prayer bulletin, God wants you to get down and pray for them. All of that's involved in getting the heavenly treasure around the world. And I want you to think tonight, what are you doing as an earthen vessel with the treasure that God's given you? And maybe tonight you ought to say, you know what? I could do a better job than I'm doing. And maybe tonight you ought to come and find yourself here at this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I've been relying on me too much. I've been thinking about self too much. Help me to be able to get this treasure out in spite of my circumstances, because my sufficiency is with you and not myself. And then one final question. I wonder if there'd be a man, woman, boy, or girl here tonight and say, preacher, I've never been saved. If you've never been saved, you don't have this treasure to give out. You need to receive the treasure. You say, I'm not sure if I die tonight I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure and I don't want to go to hell. If that's your prayer tonight, would you slip your hand up for just a moment? Anyone like that at all, man, woman, boy, or girl? Let's stand together. Our Father, I understand very clearly that the gospel is a precious treasure. And I know that it will work any place in the world. We don't need to improve upon it. You've done it all. And it's hard to understand that you've entrusted this treasure in earthen vessels, people like us who from time to time can be selfish, we can be stubborn, slothful, sinful, but yet we have this treasure, our time, our talent, our treasure. And because of this, we should be willing to go, willing to pray, willing to give, willing to commit. Paul says we have this ministry. It's a personal ministry. and the mercy that goes along with it. The mandate all of us ought to have here tonight is we faint not. We cannot let it go of the awesome responsibility. Help us to watch out for Satan, watch out for self, and even be willing to suffer, do without some things because of the treasure you've entrusted us with. Help us to do a better job. And I pray you'll speak to hearts tonight as only you can as the invitation begins tonight. Help each of us to ask ourselves, as an earthen vessel, what are we doing with this heavenly treasure? And where we need to improve, move upon our hearts to do it even tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the invitation begins, if God speaks to your heart, maybe you need to come tonight. Why don't you come find yourself here at the old-fashioned altar and say, yeah, I'm a vessel. I'm not much of a vessel. I need God to help me. He'll do that. This treasure, this gospel, is in earthen vessels. You're one of those vessels. I surrender all. God, I'm a vessel. And I'm not really pleased at what I'm doing with this treasure. I don't know last time I gave out a tract. I don't know last time I went soul winning. I don't give consistently to missions. Never thought about surrendering to be a missionary. But I'm saved. I'm saved. That means I'm an earthen vessel that you've given a heavenly treasure. God, help me to do a better job with it. People on my job, they don't even know that I'm a Christian. I've never even invited them to come to church. Boy, I'm a vessel, an earthly one, perishing. But I'm sure not doing a good job with the treasure. This treasure is in earthen vessels, that the sufficiency might be of God. God says, I want to use you to make me look great among those people. I want to take your situation where you think is helpless, hopeless. But if you have a heart to help get the gospel out, I'll make your situation work. I'm not impressed with ability. I'm only impressed with availability. You make yourself available, I'll take care of the circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through in life. God said, yes, I do. But I'll help you through it because you're a vessel that I've given a treasure. And I want you, by your life, to give it out to somebody else. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to be involved. And I pray that the thought might be there throughout this week in our hearts as we seek to come together as a church to put all of our resources together to help get this glorious gospel around the world. You may not call folks out here this conference to go, but there's some people that you've already called that want to go. Help us to be worthy stewards, to give of our substance and the prayers that we may get the funds that are needed and get the missionaries on the field. There's a treasure that we have that we need to somehow be used to get it out around the world. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.